There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Chicago everywhere. Check it.
Not enough Chicago. We just don't have enough Chicago people. Jason Goff is here.
Well, I'm at Full Go.
The Full Go podcast.
The Full Go.
Bears, Bulls, White Sox, Cubs, and Blackhawks.
Our man, Jason Goff.
3 times a week with Jason Goff.
His mood is elevated. He is feeling good.
Jason, I'm loving the Full Go.
Love the Full Go.
The Full Go.
The Full Go.
Welcome to Full Go with Jason Goff.
That is what I'm talking about.
What up, world? You're listening to The Full Go with Jason Goff, presented by The Ringer, a Spotify original.
Yeah. It's about time somebody fucking did. He's playing good. Whack as hell these last couple of days. I'm not the dude that's built to lie about, you know, what I look forward to not being what I'm looking forward to. This shit was trash these last couple of days. You know, you got dudes not showing up for game one of the playoffs and Kawhi Leonard in the Clippers situation. And God, James Harden bailed out another star, huh? Huh? Y'all go ahead and look at James Harden over this last half a decade or so. What have you been doing in some of these playoff games with your favorites who can't make it to the dance every once in a while? Oh, man. What episode is this? 382? Is this 382? Welcome in to episode 382 of the Full Go Podcast. We are in full production assemblage. You feel me? I got my guys with me. Of course, the Chief Vibes Officer himself, Chris Sutton. The dad, the myth, the legend, Tony Gill. And the exceptional one, the Kyle Williams. Welcome on in. This is the Full Go Podcast. I am Jason Goff. This thing is presented to you by the fine folks at FanDuel. And of course, brought to you by The Ringer. And Spotify is the gang. I want to reiterate the fact that two games over this last couple of days of nonstop basketball held my interest. And I watched every second of all of those games. I want to thank the Orlando Magic for not understanding that it is now playoff time and you got to show up with a different kind of vim and vigor, huh? I also want to point out to the Indiana Pacers, hey man, when that shit ain't falling, feel free to take your punk ass to the basket every once in a while. You're going to get old Uncle Jay on today's pod. This shit was atrocious. Did these motherfuckers catch the college basketball flu? Is that what happened? Huh? I'm sitting here turning on these games, getting ready. My lady left for Austin, Texas, as she's apt to do damn near once a month now. I feel like she just take permanent residency up in that fucking state. My lady's gone for the week. You know, my baby's at his mama's house for the weekend. I'm sitting around looking around like, oh, not the NBA playoffs kicking off on 4/20. What kind of godsend holiday is this? And then I turn on the basketball and all I'm seeing is
motherfuckers getting blown out left and right. I'm like, wait a minute. Are y'all out here celebrating with us? Huh? Stay focused, somebody. Somebody stay fucking focused. I sat here and watched. How many basketball games have occurred over the last 2 days? Huh? I believe seven, if I'm not mistaken. At least seven basketball games have occurred over the last 2 days. Two of them held my interest for the entirety, and I watched all of them. Don't get it twisted. I watched all of them. But 70, it was optional. You feel me? I was convertible this weekend. You know, I had to put some on when you had to go out with the dog and shit. You know how that go. Neighbors pants get wild. You know what I'm saying? Envy, you know, and jealous ones envy. You know what I mean? Every once in a while you go outside, you know what I'm saying? You keep the semi tucked, so it ain't like you going out without representing the golf name. But at the same time, you got to throw some pants on, you know, and your boy's out here throwing on the heat check. You know, the heat check jogging fits, you know what I mean? The jogging suits that are a little snug that let you know that, hey, it's time to get your ass back to where you need to be in the gym because the summer is here. By the way, I am the prototypical, oh shit, the summer is here. It's time to fast and work out and only eat rice cakes and water, right? But that can't happen when the lady is gone. So I've been eating handfuls of peanut butter trail mix and, I'm slow cooked some ribs today. I made some ribs. Yeah, made some ribs. I was very proud of my ribs, the way they came out. I had myself an entire weekend blocked off of, hey, don't call me, I won't call you. You know, my lady busy on the phone talking about, hey, talk to me while I'm in tech. Ma'am, we have cleared the bums off of the list. It is time now for us to watch the final stage, right? Postseason basketball. And I turn on the goddamn TV and all I'm seeing is bullshit. I'm seeing a bunch of teams getting waxed. All right, we already know the Celtics gonna handle the Heat, right? Like, we just go ahead and get this over with. It probably would have been a more compelling series if the Bulls would have gotten their act together at some point against the Miami Heat, but that, you know, that didn't happen. So now you got undermanned Heat team getting their ass bombed on by the likes of Sam Hauser. I watched Sam Hauser have 12 points in the first game of an NBA quarter. Right, I'm sorry. In the third quarter of game one of an NBA playoff series, I watched Sam Hauser go crazy. That's what I did. Okay, that's what my weekend consisted of. But it was not, you know, full of blowouts. And even some of the blowouts had intrigue, because I'm gonna tell y'all right now. And we've been talking about it on this pod for the last couple of years. And you can talk about anybody else you want to in the NBA. But when I see a man that is 23 years of age talking cash shit to one of the best players to ever pick up a basketball in Anthony Edwards, listen here. I don't care. Y'all, everybody rolling out all that beautiful beam footage of some of the missteps that he has made over the last couple of years. Well, guess what? He said sorry. I'm going to take his sorry. Yes. There are certain dudes who are never going to have that apology accepted by me, and they don't probably need to. And hell, Ant probably doesn't need me to accept the apology. But damn it, he said sorry. None of the stuff that happened before this postseason mattered to me. Adidas has done a beautiful job with his campaign. Anthony Edwards is the soul of the old NBA that I used to watch, where it's like, yeah, the best dude's gonna talk shit, the best dude's gonna stick the best player, the best dude's gonna hit shots and break your back, the best dude's gonna get their crowd riled up, hell, the best dude's gonna make dudes on the team understand that they the best dude. And I think that Karl Anthony Towns and the rest of these cats have now finally come to the, you know, the consensus that this dude is not like us. He's not like us. That third quarter, I'm telling you now, when Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker are staring you down and you don't blink, and not only do you not blink, but you butch up and talk more shit, oh yeah, give me that every day. Give me that every single day. We got to get that man the fuck out of Minnesota as soon as possible. Let's start like a little lightweight scandal or something. Let's have something, you know, hit the internet and, you know, not make things too uncomfortable, but make it too uncomfortable for the Minnesotans, right? Like, that dude needs to be on Broadway. He needs to be in LA. Or, of course, you know, he could find his way to the city of Chicago some way, somehow. Hey, they comparing him to Michael Jordan every damn chance they get over this last year. Yeah, and he the one crazy enough to take the challenge that way, too, by the way. That's the other thing, too. Anthony Edwards has that, you know, that your favorite partner crazy to him, where it's like, hey, man, don't talk shit to them dudes. Oh, yeah, okay, we can talk shit to them dudes. We that cold, I bet. Yeah. He's got that kind of, you know, he's got that confidence to him that there's only certain, and I will make sure I specify this even more so, only certain Southern dudes move with that kind of confidence. Where you know he's down to have a good time, but you know he never really has to turn up until it's time to turn up. Right? Anthony Edwards is the kind of cat you go to the club with. Next thing you know, everybody leave and, you know, he didn't move a finger, but was the coolest motherfucker in the spot. Like, Kevin Durant is sitting there smiling at him while he's telling him, I'm busting your old ass. Like, they went back, and then there's some Twitter feed, by the way, that is getting the on-court feed or being able to read the lips of the players as they're going through whatever they're going through. Man, the shit that Anthony Edwards was getting off on Kevin Durant, downright disrespectful. And if he wasn't so cool, you would take umbrage. That's the other thing, too. Anthony Edwards has that disarming cool where it's like, this man just said some shit about my grandmother, but he's so cool that I might agree. You know, Nana been slipping lately. You know, she's been putting them damn almonds in the cookies. I'm, you know, you might be right that my grandma ain't shit. Anthony Edwards, you might be right. But yeah, that was entertaining. You know, the Phoenix Suns, I mean, let's face it. Your boy Kevin Durant has been spinning the wheel for some years now, trying to figure out what that right mix is looking like. And whew, it's going to be tough against that Timberwolves team, and especially if you ain't got a bench, which the Suns don't. It's going to be tough. I get to see what I feel like is going to be my favorite, like, basketball nerd matchup in that game, and it's Jaden McDaniels versus Kevin Durant. I you know, we talked about this on this pod and anywhere that I can be heard. I think Jaden McDaniels is one of the best defenders in the NBA, and not many people know his name, but he does things defensively that not many, like maybe four or five people could do in the league, including, you know, Alex Caruso and some of the guys who are revered for their defense, especially on the perimeter. You watch a masterclass anytime Jaden McDaniels is on the court, you know, and if you haven't before, watch these Minnesota games, not only to be intrigued and enlightened and fascinated by, of course, Anthony Edwards, but his wingmate, Jaden McDaniels, is he's a go-getter, man, especially on the defensive end.
We'll be back with more of the Full Goal with Jason Goff after a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. I can't wait for game two of Suns-Timberwolves in the Western Conference first round of the playoffs. I got a three-leg same-game parlay for you, and it's the two combatants, the two dudes that was talking crazy to each other, and I think the two dudes that will take center stage throughout this long, hopefully long playoff series in the first round. I got Anthony Edwards over 25.5 points. I got Kevin Durant over 25.5 points as well, and I got the Suns plus +3. I think the Suns take game two, getting ready to shift that scene back to Phoenix. I think the youth And, you know, just the confidence that the Timberwolves showed in the first game. I think the Suns have measured that jab and are getting ready to counter with a left hook of their own. So I like the Suns plus three. I like Anthony Edwards over 25 and a half points, as well as Kevin Durant over 25 and a half points. That better get you a plus 493 on the odds. So many bets you can make, like the three-leg same game parlay that I just gave you, or three-pointers made in a particular game, over under point totals, first basket to score, and so much more. And FanDuel is now live in our nation's capital. Shout out to Washington, D.C. Just go to FanDuel.com/FullGo. That's FanDuel.com/FULLGO to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in D.C. and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
What up, world? It's Vic Spencer, and you're listening to The Full Go with Jason Goff, presented by The Ringer, a Spotify original.
And, you know, the 76ers, Knicks, like, that'll be a fun series. I think that'll go seven as well. Lakers, Nuggets, you know, Lakers ran out of gas coming out of the halftime. You know, Michael Malone stepped on the gas. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic put them boys to bed in the third quarter. That was that. But, what I was expecting from this first round, or first games of the first round, I really didn't get. It really wasn't a whole bunch of hotly contested games. All right, thank God for Pelicans and Thunder, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and thank God for young dudes having basketball IQ. Because at the end of the game, Jalen Williams is dribbling the ball, top of the key, and he's got C.J. McCollum on him because they're trying to hide C.J. McCollum. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, after the initial action and the secondary action in their offense, goes and sets a screen for Jalen Williams so that Herb Jones, who's going to get, you know, first-team All-NBA defensive votes, is switched off to Jalen Williams, and C.J. McCollum is now switched on to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets to his spot, pulls up, gets fouled for the and-one conversion. Like, if teams are going to switch this much, and you're going to switch without any resistance, seemingly. Like, I remember switching having to be a thing because you couldn't fight through a screen, or you couldn't get over a screen, or you couldn't, you know, block your body out. Like, I used to watch LeBron, especially in his years in Miami, and he was the best player that I had ever seen in not getting screened. Understanding the screen is coming, and you essentially setting a screen for the person that is getting ready to screen you. Like, oh, no, you got to get around me in order to set this screen, you know? So those are the things that certain dudes pick up on. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of those dudes who understands that you can guard to guard screen no matter what the hell is being called on this play. I'm going to go seek out the worst defender on their team. And he converted. It was a damn good game. And I think Thunder and Pelicans are going to go seven. I do, because that team, the only issue that I have with the Thunder is they lighten the ass. And Larry Nance Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas are bruisers, you know, especially Valanciunas. Valanciunas finished with, what, 20 boards? I think 9-8 offensive. I mean, they're going to find open shots and scramble threes and fire threes for C.J. McCollum, for Trey Murphy III, who, if you haven't watched Pelicans basketball, that is an up-and-coming player right there. But, yeah, I think that thing's going to go the whole route. I think what you saw against the Thunder I think the Pelicans have been through this. Brandon Ingram has been through this. I would have loved to have seen them draw up something instead of like just a straight ISO call for him coming out of timeout. I think Willie Green would have loved to have that possession back, maybe draw something else up. You know, Herb Jones has become a capable three-point shooter. C.J. McCollum is C.J. McCollum. I think just tossing the ball a la, you know, Chicago Bulls, DeMar DeRozan style to the you know, the high elbow and saying, hey, go make a shot. It's a little tougher, especially in the playoffs. But I think that's going to be a back and forth all series long. I think the only thing that's going to slow down the Thunder is the fact that they can't secure the defensive glass, I think, the way that they would like to, especially with how light in the ass they are. You know, coming off the bench, they got a little heft with Williams. But other than that, you know, you're starting 195, 200-pound dude at center in Chet Holmgren. So everything that you are going to take away from them when he goes out to the perimeter. You're getting back when it's time to secure the defensive glass, especially on the offensive side when the Pelicans have the ball. So I'm enthused and intrigued by what this postseason could hold. Hopefully these games get a lot better, and I think they will. For whatever reason, though, there was a few teams that just showed up in a way that I would have never get. Like the Dallas Mavericks, having that happen in the first, they scored 30 points in the first half. Like, I don't expect that to happen. They just missed a whole, there was a point where they missed 12 straight shots with Kyrie Irving, with Tim Hardaway Jr., with Luka Doncic, like with real shot makers, NBA shot makers on your team. So I don't expect that to happen. I expect there to be a market correction in game two. I expect them dudes to come out hot and maybe go back to Dallas tied up 1-1. And as far as the Pacers are concerned, they didn't hit their first three-pointer, I think, until, what, 3 minutes left in the third quarter? They missed their first 13 threes. And if that happens, you know, you got to switch it up. And that team has lived on the three, lived on fast pace all season long. And I think they just got their first taste of playoff basketball. And now it's going to become very, very convenient for people to shit on Tyrese Halliburton. I saw his post all-star numbers get thrown up there and people saying he's not a star. Well, the man had damn near a torn hamstring and came back early so he can get, you know, his requisite amount of games for his Supermax contract coming up here. So it's like, come on. If y'all want to say that what you saw in the first half of the season wasn't real, then fine. You go ahead and think that all you want. I still think the dude is playing less than healthy, but you know, these are the playoffs and these are where those legends are made. If you can thrive while less than healthy, you'll get that much more XP, right? You'll get that much more, you know, points on the game. So I still think the Pacers will beat the Bucks, but Damian Lillard scoring 35 points in the first half of a playoff game. It wasn't to be expected, but it's not shocking. It's not shocking. Damian can get that hot, and he's got the room to. With no Giannis on the court, that's your team. You got a bunch of guys who spread the ball out and shoot that thing, right? Brook Lopez is a pick-and-pop center at this point in his career solely. So he's got a lot more room on the court, and there's different variations of how the pick-and-roll is getting defended without Giannis on the court, and I think he saw a lot of those Portland coverages, and he took advantage of it. And he also took advantage of the fact that the defense on the Indiana Pacers has been their weakness all year long. So when you break down that team at the perimeter, at the point of attack, if you get past Miles Turner because he's elevated, because he's sticking with Brook Lopez, then you're gonna have the playground in the paint. And after he hit four or five threes, he started driving the ball, started throwing that floater up. Like, he looked like the old Damian Lillard. He looked like the old Damian Lillard. So I'm glad the playoffs have gotten off to a start, not the start that I would have liked as a basketball fan, but I think these games will tighten up. I think everybody can get rid of those first postseason jitters like the Indiana Pacers and some members of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we can get back to what this thing is supposed to look like. You know, guarding three or four dudes at your position for the next 11 days. You know, hopefully a lot of these series go 6 and 7 games. I think there'll be, you know, one sweep, and that'll be the Celtics. I think they'll sweep out the Heat because they just, you know, they can't score enough with Jimmy Butler. Never mind the fact without Jimmy Butler, and it's easier to do it, obviously, against the Bulls defense than it is against a well-oiled machine like the Boston Celtics, who won 64 games this year. So the postseason is here. Seems like half the teams enjoyed this holiday weekend, and now we can get back to you know, what we came here for, which is some legacy making, some spotlight. Undergoing, you know, some magnification of faults and weaknesses in coaching and players' games, like all the things that the regular season is in terms of the appetizer. We're here for the main course, which is the NBA playoffs. And oh, don't forget, by the way, all these teams in the Eastern Conference should and will be the barometer, because from what I hear lately, the Chicago Bulls are getting ready to change some things, and they mean business.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
I tell you, I can't help but get back to golf.
So we had an important occurrence on Saturday. Arturis Karnišovas spoke to the assembled media at the Advocate Center about the Bulls season and their play-in fate, their win against the Hawks and their loss against the Miami Heat. And a couple of things that I took from hearing Arturis talk about his situation and also the Bulls situation. And I was actually, and I don't know if this has been reported, maybe I'm just out the loop, or maybe I just don't give a damn until it's time for me to talk about it here on this show. But if I'm not mistaken, KC Johnson from NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com phrased a question in which he mentioned something about the ownership group being behind whatever decision or whatever direction Arturis wanted to go, whether that be rebuild or retool and keep this thing on the same tracks that they have been on. And when I hear that, that sounds incredibly juxtaposed to what I was hearing and have been hearing about the ownership not wanting to get back to the days of 20 wins and firing coaches. Like, there's a certain baseline relevancy and win total and expectation for this squad, and rebuilding was not one of those things. That's what I had heard. So to hear the question and to hear the way the answer came out, if this is sheerly on Arturis Karnišovas not wanting to rebuild or wanting to continue to add pieces to this team, because change is coming. Change is afoot. The problem is you might be getting change for change's sake, whereas an offseason ago, a trade deadline ago, you could have actually affected some and dictated some change that would not lead to you taking on bad deals. Let's face it, y'all. The Bulls have themselves a 3-year, $138 million problem when it comes to Zach LaVine and his contract. And before the contract was signed, there was rumblings that Zach LaVine, quote unquote, wasn't Arturis Karnišovas' type of player, right? He signs the max deal. The knee starts to go on him. He does everything he can do. He's an all-star a second time. But now we're at the point where if you are trading Zach LaVine, you're probably getting back somebody's unwanted deal or deals, plural. Also, like, are we in save the franchise or save the roster from the architect mode now? Because if it's Arturis' decision to make and his decision to make solely on whether you rebuild or not, well, of course he's not going to rebuild. Of course he isn't. Why would you do that? You won't be around probably for the time that this thing is really getting into gear and rolling. Or will you? Because let's just take a look at it. John Paxson was around for 17 years. Jerry Krause was around for 18 years. So I'm trying to figure out what the dynamic is, not only what the edict is, but also if you're Arturis Karnišovas, what's the downside of totally rebuilding if you know that you have an ownership group that has stuck with general managers, executive vice presidents, whatever you want to slap the name on, the label on, of the architect of the organization, they have shown you that they don't fire those guys. Okay? So if there's any time to cut bait and try to figure this thing out, knowing that you're hopefully going to get this Portland pick 2-3 years down the line that isn't lottery protected whenever Portland decides to be good, knowing that the 2025 San Antonio pick that is top 10 protected is all but assured to go into San Antonio if you continue down this path. You know, the Lonzo Ball early retirement exception and the $21 million that's going to count against the luxury tax and the cap if he is then deemed, you know, unreturnable or deemed that his career is done by an independent doctor. Like, there's a whole bunch of things here at play. Sounds to me, when I hear the change and when I hear that this group hasn't gotten it done, sounds to me like Nikola Vucevic and or Zach LaVine are being traded. Sounds like they are going to be thrown on the block and have everyone in the NBA peruse what they can add from this roster that they might like in order to take a couple of deals or one of those deals. Alex Caruso, you know, at what point are you going to be trading low when it comes to Alex Caruso? He's going to be on an all-NBA team defensively, whether it be the first or second team this year. We heard a lot about what the asking price was for Alex Caruso during the trade deadline, and some people believe maybe you can get yourself a low first rounder in the future for it. Some people believe that, you know, it was a little bit lower than that, whatever the case may be. I understand he is one of the main glue guys on this team, but anybody that I'm looking at this roster with, if I have Arturis Karnišovas' mindset of, hey, I'm not rebuilding, right? But at the same time, 39 wins, 40 wins, that ain't cutting it. And he said it himself. Like, for a guy who hasn't won one press conference since he's been here, I think in a vacuum, he won the press conference. Now, when you zoom out and get out that vacuum, he's also the guy that hasn't done any of the things that will have to happen if to change the fate, right? He hasn't moved off of picks, right? He hasn't moved off of players in these last couple of years. And if anything, he's added stopgap guys and, you know, seemingly band-aids to large gaping wounds on this roster. You know, Torrey Craig and Javon Carter, no matter how well they could have played, would not have changed the profile of this team demonstrably. And guess what? They didn't play well. Torrey Craig was hurt a lot second half of the season. Javon Carter was in and out of the rotation a lot. This was a guy that we were talking about maybe starting at point guard for this team at the beginning of the year. So I'm trying to figure out who the Bulls want to be, but also do they have the guy that can allow them to be that in Arturis Karnišovas? Billy Donovan is going nowhere. What I also heard from that press conference is Billy Donovan has, if they were doing power rankings in that organization when it came to ownership and the likes, I think Billy Donovan is probably one. And then you get to Arturis Karnišovas. And just in terms of favor, like, to me, that press conference sounded like a guy who been put in front of microphones and said, hey, go explain yourself to these people. That opening statement, the way that the questions were handled and received, like, we haven't seen a sense of humility. I don't want to say it like that because it's not like, you know, Arturis has been running around like some arrogant, cocky general manager. But at the same time, there was a different tenor and tone to the voice and the message that was relayed as opposed to these multiple trade deadlines where nothing has happened, where it's just been, hey, we got it. We understand what we need to do here. There was an allowance for, hey, maybe this thing ain't right. Maybe this thing is broken. And now is the time for actionable change. Which brings us to this portion of the conversation. I'm going to tell y'all right now. If Trae Young is a Chicago Bull, ain't nothing going to get better. Nothing. Trae Young is a fun player. He is an amazing player to watch on a once or twice a week basis. But if you are sitting down watching NBA games every single night, you will be at a disadvantage defensively that his offensive numbers cannot neutralize. You have to build a perfect team around a player like that. A perfect team around a player like that. And guess what? I don't believe the people are in place to show you that they can build a perfect team. Proof's in the pudding the last 3 years. Now, you may say, hey, that's the position that they've been trying to figure out since Lonzo Ball had his injury. And that's been the linchpin. And they need a leader. They need a pace guy. They need a point guard. Fine. You bring in that player, your defense will be in the tank. And most importantly, it'll be in the moments when you have to win something, whether it be in one of these play-in situations or a playoff series. Unless that dude is scoring 36, 37 points a game in a playoff series, what he has done to him defensively and what you become defensively, you can't recover from. You have to build a perfect team around that dude. There's a couple other names that are being bandied about, whether it be Donovan Mitchell or Paul George. The Bulls seemingly, and it was also interesting to me, by the way, that he mentioned they had 39 wins, and he then said we have to find a way to come up with 10 more wins. So if you're just reading between some of these lines, the edict has been set what this team has to be here. And the corner that they have painted themselves in. So now, with the poor planning and you know, let's face it, the acquisitions that just haven't worked out. They haven't worked out. Lonzo Ball due to injury. Nikola Vucevic. I mean, from the moment Vuce arrived here, said, "Oh, this is okay because you got yourself another all-star with Zach." But when DeMar DeRozan comes and he's scoring in the same area, and I pointed it out from the moment those two got on the floor together. They get their points from the same place on the floor. Same place. And then when Vooch has his worst shooting year of his career, because that's what you were relying upon. You were relying upon Vooch to be the premier stretch five that you signed him to be. And then all of a sudden, that stretch five stuff goes out the window when you're shooting, what, 29, 30, 31% from three in a year? Now, is this a fall off the table? Is this the general decline of an aging player? Or is this just a bad season? I don't know if the Bulls can risk it being just a bad season. Because bringing him back, you know, 16 and 11 just don't have the same ring that it had a couple of years ago. Because you see the impact or lack thereof. And also, the discipline to play a certain way. Like, the Bulls don't have a roster that allows for discipline to be the only thing that beats you. They just have so many pieces that don't fit each other that at certain points you're going to see styles of play that don't match with what you think the winning formula should be. Because at some time, these basketball players, like we talk about basketball players, like they aren't five personalities on a court trying to achieve the same goal. At some point, one of those personalities are going to jump out of a play and go, oh, this is a shot that I'm used to taking, even though the discipline part says that these shouldn't happen anymore because of how this roster is made. Like, that's what happens here. And it happens far too often. That's why you get the inconsistent play. And then defensively, I mean, your three best players aren't defenders. Let's just face it. Your three best players aren't good defenders. And Kobe White is a decent defender, but he's not a good defender. Great effort at times. But sometimes his physical limitations in terms of his arm length, you know, those things matter. Now, he draws a charge, but he's not a premier defensive player. And you show me the teams who don't have a defender in their rotation, in their top four, in their top three. Hell, did you see what Aaron Gordon was asked to do against LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers? He's one of the few guys who can match up with LeBron in terms of physicality, speed, and athleticism. Like, those are the pieces and the things that we need to be comparing the Bulls to. Not these play-in situations, not, you know, looking at the clock and seeing if they're up by 1 point and saying, oh, they were this close to getting where they wanted to be. No, 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 no. All this shit plays out throughout the year. And then we get to the postseason, then no one's surprised if things happen one way or another. That's the problem, the inconsistencies. the flawed roster composition. And Billy has spoken like a dude who's been trying to, you know, hold it down for his man for the last 2.5-3 years. That's what those press conferences have sounded like. So I was glad that Arturis Karnišovas stepped in front of the microphones and said that this is not acceptable. I was a little befuddled, though, in how the actual plan will be executed, because he didn't answer those questions directly. So in these times, in these moments where Bulls fans are trying to figure out what's next, changes are coming. It definitely is, because you can hear it in not only what he was saying, but also in his tone. We have never heard Arturis Karnišovas sound like that. He sounded like a man who has finally shown the results. You know, like the results were right there in his face. The last couple of years, you could do the whole, well, the Heat got to the play-in and they made it all the way to the finals, and this injury and that injury and Lonzo Ball and Patrick Williams. And, hey, man, all I know is the New Orleans Pelicans out here fighting tooth and nail with no Zion Williamson, who is one of the more important and impactful players in all of the NBA.
It's the full goal, baby!
We're watching teams go at it with a different compete level consistently than the Bulls do, whether they are injured or not. So, yeah, this roster has to have some kind of drastic change. They haven't been in the luxury tax, or haven't paid the luxury tax, what one time over the last 7-8 years? The last 9 seasons have been marred with almost in first round, what, one first round exit? Like, this has not been some storied tradition or some ride that is all of a sudden the candle's getting blown out on it because it's time to go home. This is something that if you want to turn this car around because you know you're going the wrong way, well, you probably should have done it last year, and you have even further to turn around and go back now. So they just going to figure out, hey, we're going to build a house wherever we set up. Wherever we run out of gas, that's where the new crib is. Because if Paul George becomes a Chicago Bull, if Donovan Mitchell becomes a Chicago Bull, not only are you sending Zach LaVine, but you're probably sending something that you value as well, along with Zach LaVine, and you're probably going to take back something that you don't value. So you got 6 in 1 hand, 6 in the other. And 6 being the most important number, because he mentioned that during the presser, that they want to finish in the top 6. See how things are starting to slowly but surely shift to exactly what the goal is? Whereas before, all this pie in the sky talk about competition and substance and you know, windows and dare say championships, all of a sudden you start to get it a little bit more specific. 10 more wins. We got to find a way to get 10 more wins. Got to find a way to get into the top 6 now. Yeah, I think the press has been put on Arturis Karnišovas, and he's been told, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where you're getting questioned by maybe your significant other or somebody you love, and you're like, hey, just say what you want to say. Yeah, I don't need a full out interrogation. We know how we're going to get to the end of this answer. Let's just get to this answer. I think those kinds of questions were posed and put to and have been put to Arturis Karnišovas. And instead of saying, hey, let's blow this thing on up, he's all for trading pieces, moving, you know, deck furniture around a little bit. If Paul George is Chicago Bull, I think Paul George is a better player than Zach LaVine, but Paul George is an older player than Zach LaVine. So when does that window close? What's the timeline like as far as Kobe White's ascension? How does that energy, how does that profile of a player affect how Kobe White plays? The Bulls are 10-15 this year with Zach LaVine. 10-15. DeMar DeRozan played the most minutes of any player in the NBA this year. Like, the things that you are counting on right now, they're tenuous at best. Meanwhile, the teams that you have made trades with are out here acting up. whether it be Orlando, you know, like there's some things out here. There's some teams out here. Milwaukee is obviously still doing their thing, and Bobby Portis is a big part of that. When you designate what your team is going to look like, you have to have a long-term plan. Right now, I don't know what the Bulls' long-term plan is because the short term is more important. And in the short term, all you've gotten is play-in losses, a first-round exit, player strife and trade rumors, people reaching out to your head coach to see if he wants to take a college job, and your architect having to sit in front of the assembled media and say that this thing has got to change when the fan base and the people who have been covering this team have said that for the last couple of years. That's the long and short of it for me after a press conference where for 18 minutes I heard things that I have never heard out of Arturis Karnišovas in a way that I've never heard them before. It just sucks that it had to come while playoff basketball is going on without the Chicago Bulls being a participant in it once again.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Time for some commercials.
Oh, the fight. I had so many plans for the fight. You know, bought the fight nice and early as I'm apt to do. You know, just figured out what I was going to do, who I was going to have over. And I have over, and had over, I should say, all the people that I usually have over when I get the fight. Not a goddamn soul. I sat there, and as the fight came on at around 10:45, man, hey, by the way, we got to cut this shit out, y'all. Like, this has been something that has doomed the fight business for years and years and years now. You ain't growing the sport when all the babies in the bed already. Like, let's get this thing on the road like 9 o'clock. You know, an old player like myself, come on, man. Especially, you know, the holiday being the holiday. Your boy was glued to the couch. There were several hours where I was either on the couch sleeping or on the couch watching television waiting for this goddamn fight. So when the fight rolled around, I'm ready to roll. By the way, longest walk out to the ring of all time. Of all time. Like, you'd think that this was, and don't get me wrong, it's a big fight, right? Haney Garcia, big fight. But It ain't Mayweather Pacquiao, right? It ain't one of these joints where it's like, oh, we've been waiting all year for this one. I kind of stumbled onto both, you know, one of them acting a little wild over like the last month or so. I'm like, all right, he doing this for the fight. He gonna promote it. He putting himself out there. I'll spend the $79. And then we get into the fight, and the first round occurred. I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't happening the way it's supposed to be, right? I thought this dude was supposed to be, you know, off his meds and drunk, and he's supposed to be the dude that Devin Haney takes out. Little did I know that I hadn't sampled enough of Devin Haney's work. But man, the first round, the seventh round, the tenth round, that had been anybody else, that shit would have been over. Okay, they gave Devin that referee, I don't know if he is a part of the Haney crew, whatever the case may be, he gave him as many chances. This man is getting his ass knocked out, and all of a sudden he's talking about he's stumbling and he slipped. Nah, he's stumbling and he slipped because he keep catching these punches with his face. That's why he was stumbling and slipping. There wasn't no substance on the ring or on the mat. First of all, I was dying laughing when I saw Twitter and people saying they knew he was going to lose when he came out there in essentials. I lost it. I laughed for the first two or three rounds because he did come out there in that big ass, heavy ass, hot ass jogging suit. And then he had the hush puppy slippers on. Like it was a different kind of look. You know, I'm like, oh man, Ryan Garcia came out there with the crown and, you know, he's playing his music. You know, you got the Latino homies sending it up in Brooklyn. It was a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Listen, Devin Haney doesn't have enough power to fight against a dude who just won a brawl. And Ryan Garcia turned that shit into a brawl from the moment the bell tolled, and I was down for it. I was down for it. You know, then he started, Ryan Garcia started with the shoulder rolling. That's what had Devin, you know, proper for rounds 2 through 5. And then round 6 and 7, Ryan Garcia picked it up again. He hit the button. If Ryan Garcia was a disciplined fighter, he would have got Devin Haney out of there in the first 3 or 4 rounds. If he came in there with any kind of, you know, discipline and fundamentals and foundation of like a game plan, he said he drank the whole time he was working out. He said he drank every night during training just to prove that he was better than this dude. Devin Haney, you know, there are tiers, right? And I know he's a champion, you know, but there's that, like, you know, Javante tier, the Canelo tier. There's certain dudes who you expect certain things out of. This was a toss-up for me. And the fact that Ryan Garcia was acting erratically, as some might say, was the only reason that the people, I think, were putting more stock into Devin Haney winning this thing. Did y'all see LeSean McCoy bet $250,000 on Devin Haney? Not only did he bet $250,000, he bet $250,000 to only win $25,000. Yeah, that's the correct response, y'all. It better be. Shit. And if it ain't, it damn sure ain't now. Well, what's that?
Is that his man's?
Oh, Devin Haney? Well, shit. From what I've seen,
Devin, we know what
take
the next
a little time
is.
Off. Then his daddy jumping on the internet immediately talking about how much you love your
man. Sean McCoy and
shit about how much you love your son.
Yeah.
We know you love your son. You the reason he might have got beat. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You the reason he might have got beat. That's why you're on here saying you love your son, because you sent him in there to get an ass whooping. That's why. Talking about, I love my son. You notice the victors never profess their love for their kid. They over there, you know, crip walking and doing the money dance in the corner. That's what the victors out there doing. And oh my God, they handed this man a backwood as soon as he got out the ring. And he was talking about he's smoking on Devin Haney. Like, hey, the one thing that we have to stop is this smoking on this pack, smoking on that pack. Yeah. Gangsters do that shit in real life and talking about people's dead homies. Now we got athletes feeling like it's okay to beat someone in an athletic venture and then saying, I'm smoking on him. You got Ryan Garcia's people talking crazy, you know, telling them that, saying that, you know, he had the power of Mike Tyson. I'm sitting there like, what is going on here, guys? Like, what's happening here? But again, fight night, nothing like it. Nothing like I implore anybody who can get a chance to get a credential to a heavyweight championship, middleweight championship, lightweight, any championship bout that you can get your hands on a credential, you can get your hands on a ticket. Just being in the venues, period. It's my favorite thing, man. I've covered like 5 championship fights. I've gone to like 2 or 3. I've covered Final Fours. I've covered Eastern Conference Championships. I've covered World Series victories, you know, here and in Cleveland. There are many events. There's nothing. I've covered Stanley Cup parades and Stanley Cup final games. There's nothing like fight night. Absolutely nothing like fight. The energy on fight night is unlike anything. And the amount of champions they had in the house on Saturday night, please. That was a vibe. And it was actually a very entertaining fight. Like, you know, it might not have done much for the purists out there in terms of actual technique and boxing skill, because after a while, you know, it got disrespectful and weird because Ryan Garcia is both of those things. But it was an entertaining fight. It was an entertaining fight. That boy Devin Haney, though, he got touched up a few times and got his ass up every time. I will give him that. Like, I have the ultimate and utmost respect for boxers and football players, like cats who you might not leave this playing surface, right? You might not leave this area, and especially with boxing, like, that sport chooses you. Like, you don't just box because you're trying to lose some weight. Like, that shit ends after a while, right? You don't just box because you don't want to stay in shape, or you got nothing to do. You can pick up a basketball. you box because you are fucking crazy. You got something going on upstairs where you are a true pugilist and you want to engage in hand-to-hand combat where, you know, hopefully no one dies. That's the only thing. Like, we'll give you these gloves and we'll give you this headgear. Hopefully no one dies, right? Every other sport is just like, hey, go have fun. Nah, boxing is next level. So I'm looking forward to the next fight, whatever the next big fight is. I know Canelo should be fighting soon, if I'm not mistaken. I know we got a couple of fights coming up. I think Gervonta might be on the schedule coming up here again. His turnaround time is quicker usually than others. So, yeah, but Haney versus Garcia, you know, got my $80. You know, I enjoyed it. Was thinking about putting a little something on. I said, hold on, let me chill. This fight has been too weird. You know, my man is 3 pounds overweight. So let me just cool out, because I definitely was going to put it on Haney. But Ryan Garcia had a strong chance, even though his behavior, like I mentioned, was a little erratic. And then he came out and beat him. Shit, that fight should have been over probably before the decision, too. Like, there was a couple of those knockdowns that were not called that I think the referee just wanted to give Haney as much of a chance as possible to defend himself. But, yeah, kudos to Ryan Garcia, man. One punch power. It's the neutralizer. You know, it's the balance. I love it. You could be as much of a tactician as you want to be. As soon as that love button get touched, lights is out. And that happened a couple of times for Haney. So, yeah, man, another successful one-person fight party here at the golf household at Casa de la Golf. You know, had my little tequila on the side and was chilling, vibing, watching the situation. Lights out in the crib, so had the speakers all the way up. Had a good vibe, good entertaining vibe, good environment. I thank both of those gentlemen for adding to future head trauma for my delight for a good hour and a half on a Saturday night.
It's Chicago in the house. Let me hear you say yeah. Yo, you listening to the Fool Golf Podcast with my man Jason Golf. It's your boy Dave Jeff. Holla at y'all. Much love.
That is all the time we have for episode 382 of the Fool Golf Podcast right here. Hope we accomplished something, whether it be breaking down not only the feelings about the Bulls end of season press conference, but the NBA playoffs. We will be draft heavy this entire week because the Bears are getting ready to select their franchise quarterback and maybe, just maybe, turn some heads at number 9 as well. A lot of talk, a lot of smoke around the Bears moving up and trying to pair Caleb Williams with Marvin Harrison Jr. Or will they stay at 9, get a defender, or maybe the third best wide receiver in the draft? We shall see. How many quarterbacks go in the top 5 picks? It's looking like it's going to be all 4 of those guys going in the top 5. So we will be breaking it down on Tuesday and, of course, after the draft on Thursday. So make sure you are back here with us here on the Fool Golf Podcast. Want to thank our production staff. As always, the shadowy figure that is known as Steve Cerruti, the dad, the myth, the legend, Tony Gill, the chief vibes officer himself, Chris Sutton. He's back from his Powerball vacation. And of course, the exceptional one, the truth, the Kyle Williams. For the fellas, I'm Jason Goff, leaving you with this. Thank you so much for downloading this thing. Thank you for subscribing to it, for following us on the socials. Appreciate y'all for rating and reviewing this thing, giving it the 5 stars you know it needs. If not, we will see you in the streets, and the weather is breaking, so that is a guarantee. I saw y'all. Saw y'all in series, huh? Trying to enjoy that outdoor patio on LaSalle. I see y'all out there with them dangerously strong drinks. I see y'all this summer. It's gonna be a good time. So when I catch y'all, make sure you're giving this thing 5 stars, or else we're gonna catch you in the streets, like I mentioned. As always, we leave you with this. Take care of each other, be safe, and remember to stay sucker free. We will talk to you on Tuesday. NFL draft week is upon us. Let's have some fun with it. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus DC, and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, DC, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.